Today, Shir's Masechta Gittin on Daf Lamed Zayin. We will begin on the fifth line from the top of the Amud, in the middle of the line, with the words, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. We continue with the Sugya of Prusbel, which is very relevant to us, as we learn it during Menachem Av Tovshin Samaches, towards the end of a Shmita year. I would like to dedicate the Shir Lili Nishmas Avi Moiri, Ramosha Barab Yitzchok Olav HaSholem, whose yahrzeit is this coming week on Chof Aleph Menachem Av. Begins the Gemara, Amr of Yehud Amr Shmuel, Yisoymen, when it comes to a Chov of Yisoymen, that a Loive owes them, ain't Shrich and Prusbel, they do not require the Takon of Hillel of a Prusbel in order to collect their chov during Shemitah, as Rashi says, because Shvius is not Meshamet the chov of their father who has passed away. And we'll soon see the reason why. V'chein Tani Rami Bar Chama, and so Rami Bar Chama learnt, not on his own, but rather, as Rashi says, from a brisa, Yisoyimim ain't Shvichim Prusbel, the Yisoyimim do not need a Prusbel to collect their chov after Shemitah, because Shemitah was not Meshamet. Why? De'Rabbi Gamliel, Ubeis Dino, Avihen Shal Yisoyim, because Rabbi Gamliel and his Bezdin, they are the fathers of the Yisoyim. As Rashi explains, they are appointed over the affairs and over the money of the Yisoyim, and therefore it's Memela considered that the Shtorim, the deeds that they have, the documents that they have of a halva are moser to Beis Din. The whole rationale of the Prusbel is that the chov of the malv is given over to Beis Din to collect. Here, it's automatic, since Rami Gamliel and his Beis Din are the fathers of the Yisoyimim, it's automatically given over to Beis Din. Rashi goes on to explain that that which the Gemara says, that Rabbi Gamliel and his Beis Din are the Vin Shal Yisoyim, is lav dafka Rabbi Gamliel and his Beis Din, but hu adin, any head of a Beis Din and his Beis Din. It's only that this Mishnah was written at the time of Rabbi Gamliel, and that's why Rabbi Gamliel is mentioned. Tanan and Hosn, we learned over there in a Mishnah in Shvius, Ein Kais from Prusbel, Ella ala Karka, that Prusbel can only be written if, as Rashi explains, the Lova has some karka. And Rashi goes on to tell us the reason for this is, there are different reasons in the Rishonim, but the reason that Rashi gives is because it is a milsa, the Shriach, to lend someone money if he has karka, and thereby the Malv is able to have a place to be goiva his loan from, the karka. It is not a milsa de shriach, it is a milsa de loy shriach, to lend money to someone who doesn't have any karka to collect from. So when did the Rabbanan make the takana of Prusbel? That was when it was a choiv, which was a milsa de shriach, and not a loan, that was a milsa de loy shriach. And therefore, Prusbel is only effective if the loiva had karka. However, Rashi goes on to say that, as we'll see in the Gemara, even if it's a small amount of karka and the loan is much bigger, the karka is not equal to the amount of the loan, still one can write a Prusbel for such a loan. Because as we have quoted earlier in the Masechta, the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Tzadik Aleph Amud Beis, Rashi brought this down earlier on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, that we find that from a small piece of karka, one can collect a larger chov. The case over there was that the malva collected from the Yisoyimim, he had lent the father 100 zuz. The worth of the karka that the Yisoyimim yarshin from their father was only 50 zuz. So he collected the karka. The Yisoyimim paid him 50 zuz for that karka to get it back. And then he went once again to collect the remainder of 50 zuz, which was owed to him. So we see that a karka can satisfy A small karka can satisfy even a bigger loan, and that is the reason why over here even a small piece of karka would be effective. Taisus in the top Taisus, the Ramaschal El Al Karka, says from Rabbeinu Shmuel, because karka kolshehu could be shavet, could be equal to a whole choiv, because einoi nol karkois. That's the Sfor of Taisus. Taisus asks a kasha on this from a Gemara in Ksubis. So we have various reasons here why even a karka kolshehu would satisfy a large loan, and on that karka kolshehu a prusbul can be written. Continues the Gemara, imein loy. What happens if the loyve does not have any karka? Mizakeyu mitoich sadeyu kolshehu. So then the malve can be mezaket, so he can give over to the loyve a small piece of karka, and then the malve will be able to write the prusbul on that small piece of karka. Vekama kolshehu. What is considered a kolshehu? Omer Rav Chiya bar Ashi, Omer Rav, afilu klach shel kruv, even a cabbage stalk, even such a small piece of karka, which is as small as a cabbage stalk, afilu kelach shel kruv, that is sufficient to write a prusbul. Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda went a step further and said that even if he doesn't own it, but he was loaned this piece of karka, afilu hishiloi makom l'tanu l'karayim, a place where he can put his oven or his range, kaisul of prusbul, that is sufficient to write a prusbul. Ask the Gemara, Eini, is this so? Vahatani Hillel, Hillel Rashi says, is the Amoira here, Hillel the Amoira learned, Ein kaisul prusbul ella al otzitz nokav bulvad. You can only write a prusbul if a person has at least a flower pot which has a hole in it, which receives its nourishment from the ground. Certainly, Rashi says, if he has regular karka, which he owns, then certainly you can write a prusbul. But even an okotznok, which gets its nourishment from the ground, one can write a prusbul. We are medayik, nokovin. If it had a hole in it, it gets its nourishment from the ground, then it is sufficient, shein and nokovloi. If it does not have a hole in it, it is not receiving nourishment from the ground, then one cannot write a prusbul. And according to you, that you just said, that even if it's borrowed, it is sufficient. Amai vo'ika mekaimoi. We have the makom upon which the otzos she'enoi nakav is lying, and that makom is either belongs to the owner of the flower pot that doesn't have a hole in it, or Rashi says he shiluloi. He lent it to him. Somebody lent it to him, and he borrowed it. And according to you, it should be sufficient. And yet here the halacha states it's only otzot she'enokov and not an otzot that's einanokov. And for the Gemara Leitzricha, it must be that it is not on the ground at all, but rather the monach asichi, it's standing on pegs, and therefore he doesn't have karka for which the prusbul should be effective. As the Ramban, that since he has permission to put the pegs in the ground, so again, Hadra Kodesh Leduchta, the question comes back that he is able to borrow some karka. Why isn't that sufficient? So Ramban says, since the whole flower pot is not resting on the ground, but rather it's resting on pegs which are in the ground, that's not enough ground to make the prusbul effective. On this, the Rajba disagrees. The Rajba says, we just learned in the Gemara that any amount of kark, even kolshu, even enough to, as big as a kalach shel kruv, a cabbage stalk. Therefore, the Rajba says, the pshat over here is that the pegs themselves are not owned by the lova, they belong to the malva, and therefore the only right of ishtamshus that the lova has is to use not the ground of the malva, but rather the pegs of the malva, which are stuck in the ground, and therefore that's not considered that he has any ground whatsoever, because he doesn't even have the ground. He only has the right of ishtamshus of the pegs that are stuck in the ground, and therefore it is not considered sufficient to write a prusbul on it. Rav Ashi makne le gidma de dikla. Rav Ashi was makne to the lova when he wanted to write a principle on a loan, a stump of a dekel, a date palm, and the stump was mechubel karka, and that was sufficient to write a principle. The cost of a principle, then he would write the principle. Rabbanan be Rav Ashi, the Rabbanan of the base manager of Rav Ashi of his yeshiva, masrimi layu ladari. They would give over their loans to one another, as Rashi explains, without writing a principle, but rather each one said to a bezdin of their friends, Hare atem bezdin, v'chayvi maser lachem l'gvoisei kol zman sheretzu. Whenever I want, I will go and collect my chayv that you will act on my behalf, that you will be a bezdin, so I won't be over on lo yigosh, that I won't be pressing and demanding the loan to be paid. Rather, it's given over to the bezdin, and they didn't even write it down in a shtar principle, but rather they said it verbally. Rabbi Yonason Moser Milu L'Rab Chiya Bar Abba. Rabbi Yonason gave over his principle, bal peh, verbally, to Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Omar Lei Tzrichna Minyachrina, after he had told him that he wants the bezdin to collect, he says, "Do I need anything else?" Omar Lei Loi Tzrichas, you need nothing else. However, the Rambam in Perek Tes Halacha Chav Zayin of Hilchos Shmita tells us that to be able to do this bal peh, that's only by Talmidei Chachamim, who will value the institution of principle even if it's bal peh. However, by Ami Aretz, who, if they would be allowed to do it bal peh, would be mezalzel, in they would not treat with respect the entire takon of prizbal. There it was not said, and this halacha remains only by Talmid Chachamim, by Amir Aratzim, by regular people. It is required to write a shtar prizbal. And perhaps the Gabi this halacha, the Shach in Yerder, brings down an aguda that says that there is no Talmud Chacham b'zmanazeh, so perhaps everyone is not considered a Talmud Chacham b'zmanazeh, and that's why all prosbolim that are written b'zmanazeh are written down and not done verbally. Tana Rabbanon, the Chacham have learned, ein loy karka. What happens if the loy doesn't have karka? Ula or of yesh loy karka, but he has a guarantor who does have karka. The halacha is kaisel lo prosbol, since this is a, this person is guaranteeing the loan, it's considered as if the loiva has karka, and we can write a principle. What happens if loy l'arav ain't lan karka? He, the loiva, and the arav do not have karka. L'chayiv loy yesha karka. But to a third person who owes money to the loiva, he has karka. Allah is kaisim l'av principle. We do write a principle. It's considered as if the loiva has karka on which to write a principle. Midrab Nosan. We learned this out from the famous Shibude de Rab Nosan, the Sanya. We learned in the Brice, Rab Nosan, Rab Nosan says, Menayelu noisu b'chaver mona. How do we know that if someone owes his friend a mona, v'chaver b'chaveri, and his friend owes his friend also a mona? In other words, if, as Rashi explains, that if Reuven owes money to Shimon, and Shimon owes money to Levi, so then it is considered as if Reuven owes that money to Levi. How do we know that we take it out from Reuven and we give it to Shimon, and then Shimon will give it to Levi? This pasuk is speaking about if somebody was moited that he stole from Shimon, and Shimon is a loiva to Reuven, so then the ganav, the person who admitted, he's mechuyev to pay it directly to Reuven, not to Shimon, because Shimon in turn owes that money to Reuven. So then the ganav has to pay it to Reuven. How do we know that? Because since it says la'asher oshem, which means to the person who's the true owner of the principal, which is in this case is Reuven, who's owed the money by Shimon, So the ganav does not give it to the person who has a claim against him, which would be Shimon, the person who he stole from, but rather he gives it to the owner of the principal, to the true owner, which in this case is Reuven, because Shimon in turn owes the money to Reuven. Since the Torah said in that lashon and didn't say la asher noiseloi to the person that he who has a claim against him, the person he stole from, I learn out this halacha. So therefore, in our case, Rashi says in Divrei Amaskal Midrash Rabbi Nosson, if Levi had karka and Levi, in Rashi's example, is chayiv to Shimon, and Shimon is mishubit through the prizbul to Reuven, who was the malva of Shimon. So Reuven is the malva, Shimon is the loiva, and Levi owes money to Shimon, and Levi has karka. So since we see from Shabbuta de Rav Nosson that the chiyuv of one loiva to a malva, who in turn is a loiva to another malva, so the first loiva, it's as if he owes it to, not to his malva, but he owes it to the malva's malva. So to here, where Levi has karka, it's considered as if Shimon has karka, and therefore Reuven can write a prizbul on the loan that Shimon owes him because of Levi's karka, which is considered as if Shimon owns that karka, and therefore the prizbul will be effective. Tananos, we learned over there a Mishnah Masechta Shviyas. HaShviyas Mishametes Es HaMalva Shviyas, during as a result of a chayv going through Shemitah, so the chayv is annulled. And we learned this halacha is going to be speaking about this cancellation of the loan, is going to be speaking about three different loans. There is a shtar sheyesh b'reich reis nechasim. There's a milva b'shtar when it's written down, and the shtar writes that if you sell your property subsequent to the loan, the malva will be able to, he has a lien on that property, he can go to the lokeach and collect his chov. Then there's a shtar sheyesh b'reich reis nechasim. There's a milva b'shtar, the loan was written in a shtar, but there was no lien written into the shtar, and then we have a melva alpeh. We have a loan that was done verbally, wasn't written down at all. So there is a svor that runs through our Gemara that if you have a milva b'shtar, which is yesh b'reich reis nechasim, that could be considered, since the malva has a place always to be goyved a loan, it's considered perhaps that he already collected it. It's not a case of where he's going to pressure the loiva to get his payment. He already has the payment because he knows where he has a lien to be able to collect the chol from. So we're going to discuss whether that is a good svora to say that shmita will not be mishami. Tanan nasim hashvis mishametes es ha milva bein bishtar bein shloi bishtar. So the Mishnah there says that it's Mishamet whether it was with a shtar or it was not with a shtar. Ravu Shmuel, Damri Tavai. So Ravu Shmuel learned Pshat. We have two cases here, and we have to know what are the two cases. Which of the three cases that we mentioned before are included in these two cases? So Ravu Shmuel, Damri Tavai, they learned the Pshat like this. They both said the Pshat is Bishtar. When the Mishnah there in Shviyas said Bishtar, it means shtar. Sheyesh Boyach Reis Nechasim. That even that Shviyas is Mishamet, and we don't say the swore that it's as if the Malva, knowing where he has a lien and where he can collect his Choy from, it's as if he collected already. No, Lamaisa, he didn't collect it, and therefore Shmita will be Mishamet. And what does it mean in that Mishnah, Shaloi Bishtar? That means even a shtar, Sheim Boyach Reis Nechasim. It's not a full-fledged shtar, that's why it's called Shaloi Bishtar, but it's really referring to a shtar, but it has no lien written into the shtar. So, and kol shkei milva alpeh. So certainly when you're dealing with an oral loan. So in all, it comes out according to Rav Shmuel that in that Mishnah in Shviyas, even though we're only speaking about two cases, bein b'shtar bein shloi b'shtar, we're really speaking about three cases. Because we're speaking about shtar sheyesh b'reich reis nechasim, shtar she'ein b'reich reis nechasim, and kol shkei which is not written in the Mishneh Koshchein, Milva Alpeh. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Damri Tavai, they learned, no, Bishtar equals Shtar Shein Bayer Chayes Lechosin. Shaloi Bishtar equals Milva Alpeh. Avo Shtar Sheish Bayer Chayes Lechosin. Eina Mishame. There, they go with the svara that we said before, that since you know where you're going to collect from and you have a lien on that property, so it's as if you already collected it, and therefore there's no reason that Shmita would be Mishamet. Shmita is only Mishamet, a loan that is still needed to be collected, and therefore you're not supposed to pressure the loiva unless you write a prizbul based on the kind of Hillel that you'll be able to collect it. Otherwise, it is Mishamet, Shvius is Mishamet. However, if it's a Shtar, Sheyesh Baruch Reis Nechasim, you already have it, and therefore it's not, Shmita would not be Mishamet. You don't have to write a principle. You could collect it. Tanya comes and said, Rabbi Yechon Rabbi Shimon Lakish. We learned, like Rabbi Yechon Rabbi Shimon Lakish, that a principle is only needed for a shtar, she'en b'erech v'ayis l'chosim, and a milva alpeh. That's the only time Shmita is mishamed, because we learned in the brisa of the following, shtar choiv mishamed. A shtar choiv is mishamed. V'im yesh b'erech v'ayis l'chosim, ain't a mishamed. So here we see clearly in this brisa that when is Shmita mishamed? Only a shtar chov, where it's not written in it, achrayis lechosim, but if it's written achrayis lechosim, it's einu mishamet. Tanya, if we learned in a different brisa, siyim lo yisoda achas balvasa, if he designated a certain field from which to collect the loan, einu mishamet, shmit is not mishamet. V'lo yoid, and here's a bigger chiddush, elafil lechosim kol nichsai achroin varvoin loch. Even if the loiva wrote that all my property is responsible and is secure for your loan, ain't a mishamed. What's the veloyoid? What's the chiddush? That not only if you designated one property, so there certainly we have the svara that it's as if it's collected because you know where you, the malvin knows where he's going to collect the loan. But even if it's all the property, it's not so designated. There the svara would say that perhaps that's not considered collected. So v'loyoy, the chiddush is that even that, since I know I can get it from any of your properties, even though you didn't designate it specifically which property, that is considered as if I've already collected it, and therefore the shmita will not be mishamed. So we see clearly from these brises, like Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, that a shtar that has achrayis nechasim written into it, whether it is specific field, whether it's all his fields, shmita is not mishamet. You don't have to write a prizbul because you can collect your chayiv, and shmita is not mishamet. The only time you have to write a prizbul is by a shtar she'ein bo achrayis nechasim or a milva alpeh. Krivi de Ravasi, the core of Ravasi, havali ahu shtar. He had a certain shtar, and the koriv of Ravasi was a malva. David Kosev Bechrais Chosim, and in it was written a lien on the properties of the loive. Also coming to Ravasi, he came to Ravasi. Amarlei asked him a shaila, Mishamet or Ein Mishamet? Do I have to write a prizbul? Is Ishmit the Mishamet this star or not? Amarlei Ein Mishamet. This is a Chrais Nechosim written in it. So the din is Ein Mishamet. Shafku, he left over Ravasi, was to come to Rabbi Yochanan. He asked Rabbi Yochanan the same question. Amarlei Mishamet. So Rabbi Yochanan Paskin different. Rabbi Yochanan Paskin Alik Ravasi said that if you didn't write a principle, Shmita would be Mishamet, even though it's a star Shiyesh Lechrais Nechosim, which is a Pella, because Rabbi Yochanan himself, before, together with Shimon and Lakish, both said, not like Rav and Shmuel, they paskin, that if it's a shtar sheyesh baruch reis lechosim, shmita is not mishamed. You don't have to write a prizbul. Also, Rav Asi lekam Rabbi Yochanan. So Rav Asi couldn't believe what he heard in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Amarle, he asked him. He asked him himself, mishamed ain't a mishamed. This shtar, is it mishamed or not? Amarle, mishamed. He said the same thing that he had told the korev of Rav Asi. And then Rav Asi said to Rav Yochanan v'amar, who do amar in Meshamet, you yourself, Rav Yochanan, paskin that it's not Meshamet. Why are you paskin now it is Meshamet? Amar le Rav Yochanan responded, v'chim ipnei sh'anu medam menasim. I says, Rashi explains, just because that's nira beinenu, we think makes sense, but we were not mekabel this from our rebbein. We don't have a mesayra on this. So we're going to be moitzi money from the loiva based on our reasoning, which we don't have a Kabbalah. We can't paskin like that, even though it makes sense to us. So Rav Asi continued and asked, Vatanya kavaseidamar. But we learned in a brisa, we had two brises that showed that Rabbi Yochanan is correct, that it is not mishamet if it's written in a chrayis nechasim. Amalei, that's no raya, said Rabbi Yochanan. Dilmahi beishamai, maybe that's going like beishamai. Damrei star ha'imelikvayis kegavidami, every star that has the ability to be collected is as if it's already collected. Rashi brings down that this, we learned the Masechta Soit Daf Chafhei by a Soit where right before she was going to drink the Mayim Amorim, her husband died. And Beishame says that in that case, she would get a Ksuba and she wouldn't drink because she only drinks if the husband's alive. But yet she gets a Ksuba because as long as it was Oymed to be collected, it's considered as if she had collected it already. So maybe that Brisa that seemed to say, like I was saying, says Rabbi Yochanan, is going like Beishame. We don't paskin like Beishame that a regular star that's Oymed Ligwas Kigavu Dami. And therefore, we have no raya from the brises to our shita, and our shita is something we have no kabbalah on. So therefore, even though I think it's right, but I'm not going to paskin, and therefore I said mishamet, unless he had a prizbul, the chov shmita would be mishamet, and you would not be able to collect the chov. It's not awesome. We learned over there in Misach Dishvi is Hamalvus Chavei Mois Alamashkin. If somebody lent money to his friend based on collateral, Vamois Shtoros of Lebezin, or he gave over Shtoros to Bezin, a Mishamtin, then Schmidt is not Mishamed. So Rashi learns why if somebody gives over his Shtoros to Bezin, how does it work? So Rashi says, Vefkeren Hefker. So Rashi seems to learn that the concept of moisturizer of the Bezin is one mid Rabbanan, als Hefker Bezin Hefker, that Bezin has the right to free make Hefker any money that a person owns. And it would seem it's only a Dindy Rabbanan. Or ever Toysus before, on Daf, Lamed Vav, Lamed Aleph, Divrei Hamaskel Mi Ika. Tosfos says there that the din of moisturizer of the Bezin is a din deraisa, and others say that perhaps Rashi meant it's also din deraisa. Rashi's just trying to explain how lemaisa does it work that the shibud of the loan goes over to Bezin. How are they koine it, that it becomes theirs? That works through Hefker Bezin Hefker, but Rashi also agrees that the etzim din of moisturizer of the Bezin is deraisa, and it's on this din that the whole din of principle is predicated, that it works as one who is giving over his shtoros to Bezdin. So the Gemara goes on to say, Bishlam in my shtoros to Bezdin, I understand how it works at Tafsilu Beidina. As we just said from Rashi, through Hefker Bezdin Hefker, Bezdin grabbed a hold of the loan, it's now in their possession. Ella Malva Ella Mashkin, my time. But why, in fact, why do we say that Shemitah is not Meshamed, a milveh, if it's done on a mashkin? My time, or what's the reason? Omar Ravis or Ravis said, Mishum de Tafeslay, because it's considered as if the malveh has, is holding the loan. He doesn't have to, the Torah says, don't press. Don't press your chaver to get repaid. Don't press the loiva. Don't pressure him to get repaid. I'm not pressuring him. I have it already. I'm holding on to it because I have the mashkin. I have the collateral. So it's considered as if I'm holding on to it. Therefore, Shemitah would not be Mishamer. Amli Abaye, according to your reasoning, Alamiyativ, so, Hilvu, if the Malva lent money to the Loiva, Vidor Bechatzer, and the Malva was living in the Loiva's Chatzer, the Tafislay, so he has grabbed onto the Chatzer, Hachanami de la Mishamed, would you say in that case it's not Mishamed? Lachara there, the Din Avada would be that Shemitah would be Meshamet. Aye, why don't you say that the Malv is holding on to it, and therefore it should not be a problem of Layigais, and therefore Shemitah should not be Meshamet. Amalei, shiny Mashkin de Kondilei. No, Mashkin, it's not just that I'm sitting on the Karka, but rather, in the case of Mashkin, the Malv is actually koine the Mashkin, mid Rabbi Yitzchak. How do I know it from Rabbi Yitzchak? Don't Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak said, Minayin lebal chayv shekana Mashkin. How do I know that lebal chayv acquires the collateral shenemar? Well, lechati etztaka. When the Torah tells the Malv to give back the collateral to the loive, the Torah says, if you do it, it'll be considered a pious thing. It'll be considered an act of tztaka. Im einoi kaina, says the Gemara, if the Baal Chayv, the Malva, was not never kaina this in the first place, tztakim inayin. What kind of tztak is it? It's not his. It belongs to the Loive. Elamai must be that while he's holding onto the collateral, it's considered his. Mikan Baal Chayv is kind of mashkin. From here we learn that Baal Chayv is kind of the mashkin, and that is the reason why Shemitah will not be Mishamit, because the Baal Chayv has it already. He doesn't have to pressure the Loive to giving it to him. The Loive, so to speak, has already paid up through giving over the collateral, and therefore Shemitah is not Mishamit this loan. Tananos, we learned over there a Mishnah in Shvius. If someone returns a chayv, the loiva at a bishvius. Now Rashi says bishvius does not mean that the loiva is returning the chov to his friend during shvius as a nice gesture, but rather Shemitah is already passed, and therefore Shemitah was meshamet. Because if it's in the middle of Shemitah, says Rashi, then if it's in the middle of Shemitah, Ein Shviyis Meshametas El B'Soifah. Shemitah is only Meshamet at the end of the Shemitah year. So while it's still going on, the Shemitah was not yet Meshamet. So he owes the money to the Malva. Elamai, if we say here that he's doing trying to do a nice gesture to pay back the loan, even though he doesn't have to pay back the loan, Hamachzer Chov L'Chaver B'Shvius. So Rashi says it means Bizman Shashvius Nehagas, when Shemitah is Nehag and Shemitah has already passed, and therefore it would be Meshamet. So Tzorach Sheyomer Loi Meshamet Ani. So the Malva, even though the loiv is coming as a nice gesture to give back the loan, even though he doesn't have to give it mitzad din, if no prusbul was written, and Shemitah has already passed, and therefore the loan has actually been mishamet that loan. So still, tzarech sheyarmel mishamet ani, there's a mitzvah on the malva to tell the loive that I'm relinquishing my right to this. I'm relinquishing the debt. Ve'im amalei afal pikein. And if the loiva says to the malva, okay, very nice, you're relinquishing it, but I want to pay you anyway, then yikabli menu. Then he is allowed to receive it from him. Shenemer, because the pasuk says, v'zed var shmita. Rashi says, tzorch loimer dibur shal shmita. So the Rishonim understand Rashi, that Rashi is explaining the first halacha that we learned in that Mishnah in Shemitah, and not the second halacha. The halacha where the malva, when the loiva is coming to say, that even though I don't really have to pay it to you, but I want to pay it to you, the malva should say, Mishame, that I relinquish my right to the loan. How do you know it from the word, Dvar Hashmita? I have to say a dibur of Hashmata. I have to say that I want to relinquish this loan. However, other Rishonim say the Ran and the Tosfos Rosh, they learn that it's going on the Sefer. That if the Leiva said, Afa Pekin, I want to give it to you, that we learn Shenem Arvizet Var Shmita, meaning that it's a Dibber that you have to say one time. But if after the one time he insists, no, I want to pay you, that then you are allowed to accept the repayment of the loan from him. Amar Rabba Vitolile Ad Amar Hachi. Rashi learns, Im Gavra Yadai, if he is strong, because he can't always use this method, but if he's strong and he can keep the guy hanging up in the air, he can so to speak force him to say Bimatana ni Naisnalach. And Rashi immediately asks, he's pressuring him. No, because I'm not going through Bezdin to collect my loan. I'm not doing it as a loan. I'm holding you up in the air until you agree to say Afal Pikein. Other Rishonim do not agree with this pshat, because they say, in fact, that this would be Usser Al Tzla Yigais. You are pressuring him. What's the difference if you're pressuring him because of repayment of loan, or you're pressuring him, give me a matana? And therefore, they learn Vitali does not mean that you lift him up in midair, but rather it means you stretch out your hand, or you stretch out, so to speak, your eyes, you're gazing at him, that, you know, okay, I said I'm a shamate, but, you know, really, it would be very nice if you paid it back to me. You make him feel like, so to speak, uncomfortable until he says, okay, Afal Pi Kein, I want to give it back to you. That's how they learn. But actually, to hold him up in the air, this would be considered forced and would not be allowed according to these Rishonim. Now, why can't I always use this method according to Rashi of hanging him in the air? Because Rashi says, him gavra yadai. It's something that, how long can you hold the guy up in the air? Only if you're very strong for a long time. So it's not a practical method. The best way is, of course, to write a prosbul, and then you'll be able to legally collect this chov that is owed to you. Eisvei Abaye, so Abaye asked the question, how can you hang him up in the air until he says that I'm giving it to you as a matana, kishu noisen loy, when the loyve pays up the malva after shuvias mishamet and no prosbul was written, al yoymer loy bechayvi ani noisen loy. He shouldn't say to the malva, I'm paying you my debt, because he doesn't really owe him anything. Al yoymer loy shaliyin, this belongs to me, umatana ani noisen loy, I'm giving you a matana. So the question is, here it seems, I'm giving you a matana, I'm not being forced to give it, and here you're telling me that he can hang him in the air. So the Gemara says, Amalei. So the Gemara answers, Einechanami, Tolilei, Nami Adomer Hachi, Einechanami, he holds him in the air until he says these words that I'm giving it to you as a matana. Not just he says, I'm paying you a chayv, but the words that he in fact says, and which I'm holding him up in the air, is, I'm giving it to you as a matana, and Rashi Shita is that there is no lo yigais in this case, and if he uses the words, I'm giving it to you as a matana, according to Rashi, it is considered non-problematic, and it is acceptable. The Gemara relates a story now. Abba Bar Marsa, who was a tzaddik, chash of a person, the who, Abba Bar Menyumi, he's also known as Abba Bar Menyumi, having masik bay Rabba Zuzi, he owed Rabba money, and Rabba was a poor person. Aisinu, it came after Shmita, and Abba Bar Marsa came and brought Nehalei Bishvias, at the time when Shmita is Nayi again, it was already after Shmita. Amarlei, so Rabba did the correct thing, and he said, Mishamatani, you're coming to pay it up to me, but I'm relinquishing my right to it. Shaklin of Ozel. So Abba Mamarsa apparently didn't know that you're supposed to say Afal Pikein, and he took it, you said, you're relinquishing it, fine. Shaklin of Oslo. Also Abaya came. Ashkei the Havatzav. He saw Rabba was very sad because Rabba really could have used the money. Amarle, Amayotzav Mar. Why is the master so sad? Amarle, Hachi Avamaisa. This is what happened. I said Meshamet. He was supposed to say Afal Pikain. He didn't say Afal Pikain, and he took the money away. Ozil Gabes Abaya went to Abamar Marsa. Amarle. He said to him, Amtisle Zuzil Mar. Did you bring money to Rabba to pay up your chayv, which Shmita was Meshamet? Amarle in. Yes, I did. Amarle in my Amarlach. So he said, Abai said to Abamar Marsa, and what did Rabba tell you? Amarle Meshamet in thee. Rabba said that I'm relinquishing the loan. Amarle. So Abai said, Va'amrat le afal pikein. Did you say back to him, even though you're being Meshamet, but I still want to pay you up? Amalei loy, he said, no, I didn't know that I'm supposed to say alphabikain. Amalei, vi amritle, if you would have said alphabikain, I want to pay my loan, vi amritle alphabikain, havishakilnuminach, he would have taken it from you. And you would like to do the right thing. The robber's a poor person, he needs the money, and if you would have insisted, he would have taken it. Hashtami is amtinunale, all is not lost. Go and bring it to him. Ve'emle and say the words afal pikein. Ozlam tinanale. He brought it to him. Ve'amle afal pikein. He said afal pikein. Shakil namine. And he took it from him. Omar and Rabba said, loy havi beidaita baitzur ben rabbanu mikara. Apparently this Talmud Chacham. Abbar Marse, he didn't know this halacha that you should say afal pikein. Otherwise, he's a person who always wants to do the right thing. He would have said it to me right away. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Yudah, Amar Rav Nachman, Neman, Onam Olam, Rav be Yodav, Vav, Mimani. A person is allowed to say, I had a principle on this loan, but I lost it. My time was the reason. Kiv, and the Tekin, Rav, on a principle. Since the Chachamim made a Takon of a principle, Loi Shavik Hetera. A person will not leave over a heter dika way of collecting his loan, Vachli Sura, and try to take the loan even though Shrius was Meshamet it. And therefore, Taisa says in the name of Rabbeinu Tam that it's because of this rule that a person, if he could easily do it in a permitted way, he's not going to do it in a prohibited way. Therefore, he's believed here even without a Shvuah. Ki also look at Rav, when people who had lent money came in front of Rav, and the Shmita was possibly Mishamit the loans, Omar Lei, he would ask the Midi Prisbal Hayalach, V'avad. Perhaps you had a Prisbal and it got lost. And if you did, that we will believe you that you had a Prisbal. There is a mitzvah for the Bezdin to open up their mouth to someone who's mute. The person perhaps thought if he lost his principle that he has no chance to collect the chayv. Here it's a mitzvah on Bezdin to open the mouth of the mute and tine it for the malvita. Perhaps you had a principle and a galas. And if they say, yes, in fact we did, they'll be able to collect their loan. Tanan, v'chein bal choiv shemoitzi shtar choiv. If a bal choiv takes out a shtar choiv, any more principle, it doesn't have a principle. Hare elu lo yifro. You do not have to pay. They are not able to collect for the chov that is owed them. So the Gemara is asking a question, as Rashi explains, that obviously they must be saying, we had a prizbul and it got lost. Because if they didn't have a prizbul, what's the chiddush that they can't collect? Shmita was mishamet this loan. It freed the lova from paying up his debt. So of course the malva can't collect if there's no prizbul written. Elamai, there was a prizbul and it got lost. That's what they're tining. And yet it seems over here that they cannot collect if they didn't have the lost prizbul. The Gemara answers Tanoi, it's machlokes Tanoi, the Sani, we learned in the Braisa. Hamoitzi shtar choiv, tzor sheyemoi prizbul. A person who takes out, presents the bezin a shtar choiv, he has to have with it a prizbul in order to collect. That's what the Tanakhama holds. Say, Einat Sarchi doesn't have to, because we will believe him, because Leishavik Hatera V'Achli Surah. So it comes out, you brought me a Mishnah that says, Hare Elula Yifro, that's going according to the Manda Yomar, the Tanakama, that's Sarshe Imoy Prisbel, otherwise you can't collect. But we were saying, Rav Yudah Marav was going according to Chachamim, who hold that Einoit Sarach, if he tells us that he lost it, then it's not necessary to have the Prisbel, and we will believe him. The next Mishnah discusses takonos that the Chacham made on behalf of an Eved Kanani. An Eved Kanani who is chayv in mitzvahs like a woman, so the Chacham made the takonos that he should not be captured by the goyim and remain in captivity, but rather we should redeem him so that he will be able to continue to do mitzvahs like a woman is obligated. Says the Mishnah, Eved shenishba upaduhu, if an Eved Kanani was captured and other Yisraelim freed him, im lishum Eved, if they freed him that he should remain an Eved, you stop it, then he remains an Eved. Im lishum ben chayrin, if he was freed to be a ben chayrin, if he was ransomed from captivity to be free, lo yishtabit. Then when he comes out of captivity, when he's ransomed, he does not become an Eved. And the reasons will be explained in the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Oimer, benkech benkech yishtabit. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel argues on the Tanakhama whether he was freed for captivity or whether he was freed, whether he was redeemed to be a free man. Either way, he remains an Eved. Says the Gemara, my asking, what are we speaking about? What's the case here? Elam lefnei Yish. If it's speaking about before Yish, so l'shum ben chayrin amai lo yishtabit. Why does it say in the Seif of the Mishnah that if he was redeemed to be a free man, he is free, but it was before Yish. He's still owned by his original master, who was never Miyayish. If so, right when he is redeemed, he should go back into the servitude of his master. Why is the din that he becomes free? El Alachar Yish. Elamai, you're going to have to say that our Mishnah's case is speaking about that the Baal said, Vayli lechasarin kiss, I'm never going to get this Eved back. He's lost into captivity forever. If so, then I don't understand something else. Then I don't understand the ratio. L'shum Eved, amai yishtabit. Why is it then that if he was redeemed for Avdus, he remains an Eved? It's speaking about Lachar Yish. If it's Lachar Yish, he no longer is owned by his previous master, and in Mele he would go to freedom. Why should he remain a Eved? Amar Abaye, so we have two terutzim in the Gemara to the questions that the Gemara just raised. One teretz is from Abaye, and the other teretz is from Rava. Let us see first Abaye's teretz. Amar Abaye, loilum, you know what our Mishnah is speaking about? Lifnei Yush. And here's how we have to learn the Mishnah. Ulishum eved yishtabed l'raboy rishon. When it says that he was redeemed in order to be an Eved, it means he becomes an Eved for his first Rav, because it's speaking about Lifnei Yush. So the Eved still is owned by the first Rav, and therefore the second one who freed him cannot take him for himself, because it's speaking about Lifnei Yish. If he would take him, it would be like stealing from the original owner. So therefore, Lishum Eved, and whatever he had in mind, Rashi says, whether he had in mind to give it back to the Rabbi Rishon, or even if he had in mind for himself. But the case is that Yishtab L'Rabbi Rishon, he remains an Eved, L'Rabbi Rishon, because it's speaking about Lifnei Yish. And Lifnei Yish, it's owned by the original master. But the Seifa is as follows. L'shum ben chayrin lo yishtabit. Loy L'Rabbi Rishon v'loy L'Rabbi Sheni. Then he goes free. Aye, it's before Yish. Why should he go free? Why shouldn't he still be an Eved to his original master? The answer is as follows. L'Rabbi Sheni loy d'holishum ben chayrin parkei. to a second master who redeemed him. He stays free because why did the second master redeem him? It's going on the case Lashum ben Chayrin. So da Lashum ben Chayrin parke. And Tosfos says that besides this reason that he redeemed him in order that he should be free, and that's why the Eved remains free, there's a simpler reason. Huadin Tosfos says in Divrei Maskil Olam, the Matzal Meimer LeRabbi Sheni Loi da Lefnei Yishu. He cannot become free to his second master. Because he cannot become a slave, rather, to his second master, because it's speaking about Lufnei Yush, so the second master does not own him. The Chiddush here is La Rabbi Rishon Nami Loy, that he doesn't even remain a slave of his first master, even though it's speaking about Lufnei Yush. And here the answer is, because Dilma Mimni V'loi Parki, if people would know that if they free an Eved from captivity, he goes right back to his first master and is a slave to his first master, they will no longer free him. And then he will remain amongst the Goyim. He won't be able to do mitzvahs like an Isha. So the Chazal made a takana that if it's Lifnei Yiyush, then even if the even if it's Lifnei Yiyush, where it should go back to the original owner, but still it'll be a Ben Chayrin, in order that people should have the incentive that I want to free this slave so that he should become free. I want to redeem him from captivity so he should become free. If he's going to go right back to his original master, then why should I free him? So in order that this shouldn't happen, they made a rule that when it's even though it's Lifnei Yiyush, but if he's freed as a Ben Chayrin, he remains free as a Ben Chayrin. So this will explain if he's Lishum Eved, if the second master redeemed him from captivity, Lishem Avdus, he goes to the first master, because it's Lifnei Yiyush, but if he redeemed him for Chayrus, then he goes free entirely, or else people will no longer want to free slaves. What's the svara now of Rav Shimon Gamliel? Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, the end of the Mishnah, he argues on the Tanakam, and he says, Benkachu Benkach, whether it was for Avdus, or whether he was being redeemed for Ben Chayrin, Yishtabed, he has to remain an Eved Kesover, because he's of the opinion that Kishem Shemitzah Livdai says B'nai Chayrin, Kach Mitzah Livdai says Sav Adim. Just like it's a mitzvah to free, to redeem someone who's going to be free, it's a mitzvah to redeem an Eved who will do mitzvahs like a woman. And therefore, Rashi says, the person who's doing the redemption will not hesitate to redeem him, even though he knows he's going to wind up back an Eved of the first Adon, because he gets the same mitzvah. So therefore, says Rav Shimon Gamliel, it doesn't matter why he redeemed him, even if he redeemed him for Chayrus, but he will also Yishtabed, because he knows he's going to get the same mitzvah, so therefore it won't bother him that the person becomes back an Eved. That's the way Abaye understood the Mishnah. Rava understands it different. La'olam la'achar yish. Really, it's speaking about our Mishnah Lachayish. Ulishum Eved Yishtabed L'Rabboi Sheini. So we asked the question before. If it is speaking about Lachayish, then why is the din that he becomes an Eved to his first master? It's Lachayish. He doesn't belong anymore to his first master. So the Gemara says, Einachanami, you're right, but you made a mistake when it says that Lishum Eved Yishtabe does not mean the first master, it means the second master. Lishum Eved Yishtabe, the Rabbi Sheni. The Rabbi Sheni, if he redeemed him in order that he should become his servant, then he becomes his servant. But if he redeemed him Lishum Ben Chayrin, then Lo Yishtabe Lo the Rabbi Lishum Lo the Rabbi Sheni. The Rabbi Sheni Lo Lishum Ben Chayrin Parke. He doesn't become an Eved for the second one because the second one redeemed him in order to be a Ben Chayrin. The Rabbi Rishonami law, he's not Meshubah to the first master either. The Halacha Yishav, because according to Rava, this is being Halacha Yish. Halacha Yish, he's not owned anymore by the first master. That's the Svar of Tanakama. Now we go to Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel Loimer, Benkech Benkech Yishtabit. In both cases, he does become an Eved. Whatever the reason that the Baal Sheni, the second master, redeemed him from captivity, he becomes an Eved. Why? Kedechiski, Amr Chiskia, Neima, Amru Benkech Benkech Yishtabit. Why did they say that whether he took him, he redeemed him for and it's La'achar Yish, whether he redeemed him for slavery, whether he redeemed him for cheres, he remains an Eved, said Chizki, shelo yei kol echad v'echad, that every Eved should not have a great idea. Shelo yei kol echad v'echad, hoi lechum ach balatzman legaisis, he'll bring himself into the different army battalions, he will be captured amongst the goyim, he wants to get rid of his master, umafki atzman miyad raboy, and he'll figure my Rebbe will become Miyayish, and then if somebody will free me, so if he redeems me for freedom, very good. And even if he redeems me to become a slave, but maybe he'll be a better boss than my first master. So if he would know that he will always be able to get out of his first master's Rishus either way, after Yiyush, so he'll have this idea. Let me get captured by the goyim. Umafki atzma miyad rabbi. Therefore, in order that this shouldn't happen, they said that if you're going to be redeemed, you're going to go right back to your first master, whatever the second master had in mind, whether it's avdus or whether it's chayus, but you're going to go right back to the first master, so he won't execute this plan. That's the svor of Chizkiah. That's what Rav Shimon Gamliel's svor is, that benkach u'benkach yishtabit. Meister, I'll ask you a question. Omelin, Rav Shimon Gamliel said, Kishem shemitzvah liftoises b'nei chayrin, kach mitzvah liftoises avodim. We find beferish that Rav Shimon Gamliel said these words, that just like it's a mitzvah to free b'nei chayrin, so it's a mitzvah to free avodim as well. So bishlam alabai yedom lifnei yiyush. It comes out of major machlokes here pshat in the mishnah between Abai and Rava. According to Abai, our whole mishnah was speaking about lifnei yiyush. According to Rava, the whole mishnah is speaking about la'achar yiyush. So according to Abai, that we learned the mishnah lifnei yiyush, it's very good. Haine de kamer kishem. So it's speaking about lifnei yiyush, and the way Abai learns it, that Lishum Eved, he becomes an Eved for his Rabbi Rishon. Lishum Ben Chayrin, he is not an Eved neither for Rabbi Rishon nor Rabbi Sheni. And the reason is Rabbi Sheni because he took him out for Ben Chayrin. Rabbi Rishon, he's not because that might stop people from from redeeming Avodim if they know that they're going to go right back to their first Rabbi. So therefore the din is that even though it's Lifnei Yiyush, but if he's freed for Cheirus, according to Tanakama, he'll go out L'Cheirus. On that, Rav Shimon Gamliel said, very good, Kishem, that just like it's a mitzvah, Lifnei Yisbenei Chayrin, it's a mitzvah, Lifnei Savadim. Memela, no one is going to be Monea himself from redeeming a slave, because he's going to get the same mitzvah, even if he's going to wind up back as an Eved. So then the rejoinder of Rav Shimon Gamliel to the Tanakhama, according to Abaya, that it's speaking about Lifnei Yiyush, it works out very good. El Rava, Domer Lachar Yiyush, but according to Rava, that says that our whole Mishnah we have to learn Lachar Yiyush. And the way Rava learned it was totally different than Abaya. According to Rava, it was La'achar Yiyush, and L'shum Eved means that it became Yishtabit to Rabbi Sheni. And L'shum Ben Chayrin, he's loin Yishtabit, not to Rabbi Rishon or Rabbi Sheni, Rabbi Sheni not, because you took him out l'cheres. L'rabbi Rishon also not, because it's speaking about l'achar yish. So on that, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, b'enkach u'b'enkach yishtabed, because we hold like Chizkiyah. That Chizkiyah says we don't want to have a system where someone, an Eved, will get out of his first master by getting captured, and then when he's freed, he'll either go totally to freedom once he's redeemed, or he'll go into the hands of the second master, who he thinks will be a better master than the first one. That's how we learned the Mishnah according to Rava. So then, what is Rav Shimon Gamliel just saying? Kishem shemitzah liftos b'nei charim, kach mitzah liftos avadim. That's only a sworn abai lifneish. But in Rav and l'achar yish, the reason Rav Shimon Gamliel was hi kishem mishum dechizkiyahu. It's because of Chizkiyah's worry that a eved will always try to get himself captured by goyim so that he can get out of his first master's rishus. And that's why we tell him, no, if you're going to be redeemed, you're going to be an eved. So Rav Shimon Gamliel is not saying the answer that Rava says he should say. He should have said Chizkiyah. And instead he says, because of Kishem Shemitzvah, Liftos B'nechar and Kach Mutzalus Ezavadim, Amalach Rava. Rava will answer the following way. Rav Shimon Gamliel lo yavi yada mai kamar Rabbanan. He didn't really know what the Rabbanan were saying. V'achi kamarlu. And this is what Rav Shimon Gamliel said to the Rabbanan. E lifnei yush kamritta. If you were speaking about lifnei yush, you didn't say clearly what you're speaking about. If you're speaking about lifnei yush hainu kishem, then on that I have an answer of kishem. And that's why memanav shach, he should remain an eved, because there's a mitzvah to be paid avadim also. But e l'achar yush kamritu, and if you're saying l'achar yush, so then einachanami kinechizkiyah. So Rav Shimon Gamliel was only saying one side of his thing, but really he meant, according to Rava, both things. He was saying, on if you're learning lifnei yush, then I'm going to tell you there's a mitzvah to be poyd avodim also. If you're learning l'achar yush, then in echanami, the reason why benkech u benkech he remains an eved is because of Chizkiyah.